This is Jonja.net. I'm on the phone with Michael J. Nelson of Mystery Science Theater 3000 and most currently, Riff Tracks.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great. How about yourself?
Good, thanks.
Thanks for giving us a few minutes of your time today.
My pleasure.
Start out, let's see, Mike Nelson, star and writer of Mystery Science Theater 3000, author of several books, of which Movie Mega Cheese, Mind Over Matters, and one I'm in the middle of right now, Death Rat.
Oh, wow, good for you.
Yeah, which is your first novel, which I am enjoying.
Great.
Let's see, just jumping straight into your Riff Tracks, which is your current project. Question that came up from someone just recently. You've got a ton of different films out there, everything from the horrible to the what people thought might be unriffable to movies that some may consider classics. So my question to you is, do you think, or have you discovered, do you think, is there such a thing as an unriffable film?
Yeah, probably. I mean, I think most of those things, though, are kind of technical. It's just if it just gets too talky or it's just too much of one thing, like if it's just solid action and it's, and there's just no human interaction to go off of, those are kind of tough. But otherwise, nothing's really off limits in terms of, if the movie's too good, I think there's a place for like a meta commentary that's also funny, and so some of the movies that we've done I love, and others I haven't. But you're right, I don't, so far I haven't found one that I just go, oh, there'd just be no way because of, it's too sacred or something. Because the movie when we're done still exists in its pristine form, and we haven't spray painted the Mona Lisa or anything.
Right. Okay. Where did the idea for the Riff Track come from? I mean, obviously, you've done a lot of stuff with Mystery Science Theater, but that was older films that you had actually gotten the rights to and make fun of. But this was you can pretty much do anything you want with this way. Where did the idea come from?
Well, we'd explored it back, even back in the Mystery Science Theater days of, doing a modern film, because we'd done a couple specials where we got to do riffs on Titanic and a few others, just little pieces of it, and that was great fun, and people loved it. So mostly it came from, the many, many suggestions for me to do it. It had been on my mind, but I kept getting emails from people saying, you've got to just, release them as MP3s. Do it. And I got so many of them that I finally said, well, maybe I should start doing it. So it kind of was something we'd explored already, and also just many requests for it.
You have a lot of guest riffers. Well, you started out by yourself for the most part, and then you pulled in Kevin Murphy. And Bill Corbett is also doing some with you now?
Right.
Is that right? That's excellent. And you also pull in a few extras here and there. Is there any future plans for any additional guest riffers?
We do. We're always looking for people. And there's, we've been lucky with Weird Al and Fred Willard and Neil Patrick Harris. And the amount of people that we ask, we ask people that we'd like to work with, obviously. And we expect to hear, no way is be the most common answer, but surprisingly people want to do it. So there's a couple guests coming up, but it's not 100% yet, so I can't float their names out there.
Nah.
But exciting stuff, and I'm glad to work with other people, outside people who kind of bring something else to the table.
Yeah, you know what I think would be fun is if you could actually get someone that was in the movie if you could get the director or the star, I think that would be pretty funny to see what they could come up with.
Definitely. That is actually in the works. You are very prescient on that one.
Ah, excellent. How about that? Is there any plans to do any more writing, publish any more books?
That's on hold for the time being. I really am pretty much up to my waist here in Riff Tracks, and I really like the doing stuff that is available within days of getting it done. And it was one of the frustrations of writing books, is that it just takes so long, and then you give your work to someone else who then has either the option to put it out there or just bury it. And that was a frustrating thing for me, because obviously you work hard on a book, everybody does, but this is just, for the time being, has taken so much of my time that it's it's not really in the cards.
Did you really foresee that Riff Trax would end up taking up so much time? So it was something that you'd started, you know, pretty much by yourself with Legend Films. Yeah, did you really think it was going to be something that was going to end up taking up so much time?
Well, I hoped so, and you know, there seemed to be, like I say, enough people who were requesting it that I knew there was at least some interest in it. And you know, it's one of those things where we're a small company. We love doing it. We love keeping close to the material, and so that drives us to, you know, to do the work. And that's why I want to concentrate on it the most, because it just frankly gives me the most enjoyment. Like I say, all the other stuff that I do, and you know, pitching television shows or movies and everything is it's a tough road, and to not have control over your stuff in the end is, it's worth being smaller and being able to do that, you know, for me, because having done both of those things, I just prefer this. So
do you think that's something that may have did that come and play at all with the towards the end of the Mystery Science Theater 3000 days with Sci-Fi Channel?
Yeah, it did. They were great, but they also, there was, you know, when you're working for somebody else, then they're paying your bills and they have a say in it. And sometimes it's good and sometimes it's bad. But one of the things when you've done something for a long time and then you get people kind of, you know, messing around with it, it's not easy. And, you know, that happened with the feature film as well, that, you know, they have to have their say because that's their job. And that's what's nice about doing small things. Like the TV show was small enough that we flew under the radar for the most part and got not even a hundredth of what, you know, a normal show gets in terms of notes and you know, being subject to ratings on a, you know, minuscule basis from one show to the next. We never really had that, so I don't want to make it sound like there was, you know, all this interference. Compared to anyone else, we had it pretty easy.
Right. It was when you were on the Comedy Channel, Comedy Central, or, well, actually changed names several times, so that Comedy Network,
yes.
Did they give you a little bit more of a free rein than when you when you jumped to the Sci-Fi Channel and did the movies?
It had more to do with, you know, just the time period that we were there. And also when we started at Comedy Central, which I guess was, you're right, Comedy Channel. We were too small and they were too busy to really notice, although they did pay attention to a few things. But also our physical, you know, our geographical proximity to everyone else, it was too tough to fly out and mess with us. So we kind of got off pretty easy because of those things. But there was always a little bit of, you know, give and take. And, you know, as I say, that's understandable.
Well, I was pleased when you started Riff Trax. Actually, Riff Trax has been around for a couple of years now. It seems to be sort of like this it's really starting to get a little bit more publicity now. It's like the latest, oldest, newest thing.
Right.
But it was certainly something that was awesome to see come along, because I think with the end of Mystery Science Theater, it really kind of left a void, and there was nobody, you know, I guess unless you count, like, you know, Simon Cowell and American Idol, you know, make
right,
there was no one telling the truth about movies. Yeah.
Yeah, that's actually a pretty good comparison. People seem to like that. And you know, with the taking the rights issue out of it, it is just fun to explore different things. And for the most part, people are on board for the choices. And I think one of the things that's so that I like about it is just having a catalog that's available all the time, you know, unlike a TV show where you wait around for the episode, is, you know, if you don't want to see Spider-Man 3 riffed on, you know, you don't have long to wait for something else that might be a better choice for you. So that's just, I just love the being on the web and being able to offer a whole lot of stuff and sort of tailor it and just have a wide variety.
I know there's another group of MST alumni that have started doing a little bit of their own thing. Is there any cross connection between the two of you in the foreseeable future?
I think so. We're talking behind the scenes, and hopefully we'll have something soon. Although I don't know which people will be involved or what combinations, but I think we'd love to do it.
Well, Mike, I thank you very much for giving me a few minutes of your time.
It was a pleasure talking to you.
All right. Thanks very much. Have a good day.
Take care.
That was Mike Nelson, and this is Janja.net.